All right. Well, for now, Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Well, let's pray one more time and we'll get into this. Lord, thank you for your word. And there's just obviously so many things right now in our world, here in our church. Grateful for a wonderful time yesterday for the ladies. Grateful for our guys that were able to be here and serve them. Grateful for the guys that came the other day to clear the parking lot. Grateful for sunshine to help do a lot of that work for us. Grateful for this building, Lord. Grateful for your blessing. Grateful for the word of God. Grateful for your sovereignty, grateful for your goodness to us. We thank you, God, for all you are and all that you do, all you provide. Now, as we just kind of get into your word here a little bit, would you speak to our hearts? Challenge us, encourage us. May we grow strong in the things of you. So use this time by your Spirit to your glory in our lives, in our communities. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you've read the Bible, if you've read the New Testament, you know that most of Paul's letters, his epistles, of course, epistle is just a fancy word for letter, but you know that most of his letters close pretty much the same way the book of Colossians closes, with some warm personal greetings. And you have your Bible open there to Colossians chapter 4. We're not going to cover this whole section today. We're going to look at it in the next couple of weeks. But verses 7 fairly to 18, it's Paul greeting individuals by name. The great pastor and author and commentator Warren Wiersbe, he made the comment that if I'm counting correctly, there are more than 100 different Christians, either named or unnamed, that are associated directly with Paul in the book of Acts and in Paul's epistles. And I like how he said it, how Warren Wiersbe said it. Paul was not only a soul winner, he was a great friend maker. And I've really been looking forward to this last little section of Colossians, and hopefully you'll see why here in just a little bit. But I kind of getting into it as a little bit of a side note of an introduction. I have to be honest, it's been a distracting week, obviously, with everything that's happening in Eastern Europe and all those things. And much of the difficulty is that this section is largely, and the sections like this at the close of so many of his letters, is largely dealing with people who knew Paul and who were known by him. If you're anything like me, I was talking to a pastor friend of mine yesterday, if you're anything like me in your own personal Bible reading, like, come on, you don't have to raise, I don't need a show of hands right now, but when you read this section, you're like, can't pronounce that name. You're reading through the Old Testament like, am I really supposed to read this? At some point in your life, read all, like, they got their name in the Bible, you know, read those names, even if you butchered the pronunciation, but read them, you know. But if you're anything like me, we tend to, this sounds so wrong, thus we're doing what we're doing now, we tend to kind of skip over it, and like, it's just names, I don't know those people, so on to 1 Thessalonians, right? So it's here in front of us, and I've been looking forward to it, and it's difficult in a lot of ways. And my role here in the church is largely to articulate gospel truth, to make it known, to make it clear. And we talked about this not too long ago when I shared from Nehemiah chapter 8. My role is to read distinctly from God's word, to give the sense, and you remember this from Nehemiah chapter 8, to help the people understand what was being read to them. That's my role, that's part of my calling, and I'm hoping that I'll be successful to that end with this section here today and next week and the following week, I'm sure. So what I'd like to do here is read this whole section, and then for the sake of time, and I knew there were a few other things that we were going to do today, we're really only going to cover the first part of it. So let's just read the section again to get a sense of what we're discussing and then try to make sense of what's happening here. Tychicus, and there's different pronunciations for that. It's probably Tohikas is the Greek. But he's a beloved brother. He's a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord. And he will tell you all the news about me. Again, this is Paul writing to his friends there in Colossae and from prison, and Paul had never even met them. He said, I'm sending him, Tychicus, to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts. And some of your translations might render it more that he might, or that you might know our circumstances, what Paul was dealing with there in prison. He's sending him, verse 9, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, and they will make known to you all things which are happening here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you with Mark, and this would be John Mark, not the nephew, but the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, or also pronounced Jesus, or Jesus, who's called Justice, these are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are of the circumcision, which means what? They're Jewish believers, and they have proved to be a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, he's a bondservant of Christ, so we read about him in chapter 1. He greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, so that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him witness, verse 13, that he has a great zeal for you. This man, he loves you so much. And those who are in Laodicea and those in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, yep, Dr. Luke greets you. And Demas greets you. Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea, and Nymphas, and the church that is in his house, or her house. Verse 16, now when this epistle is read among you, see that it is read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. We'll talk about that in a week or two. And say to Archippus, what a wonderful name. Nobody names their kids Archippus anymore. Take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. What a great charge. And this salutation by my own hand, Paul. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Amen. Well, again, obviously, as I mentioned just a couple minutes ago, this is classic Paul, right? This is a collection of this, or these warm personal greetings. This is the way he closes his letter. And so again, as we look at this, it'd be real easy to just say, make a couple comments and on to the next thing here. But kind of the sense I get from it is this. Even if we don't know who they are important. And if even if we don't remember their names, Paul knew them personally. And they were important enough for the Holy Spirit to make sure their names were recorded for us to read. Like, this is as inspired as is John 3:16. As I mentioned, this is classic Paul, these personal greetings. But not just that, not just say hi to so-and-so, so-and-so says hello. It's he tells us stuff about these people. Now, it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 18, again, kind of where Paul gives a mention and greeting to different people. It's there in 1 Corinthians 6:18. It's a side note. Paul says, after mentioning some of these important individuals, acknowledge such men. Here's some important people. Acknowledge such men. And much the same thing happens in Philippians chapter 2 after Paul highlights the ministry merits of both Timothy and Epaphroditus. He says, hold such men in esteem. These men, acknowledge them. Hold them in esteem. And so again, here in Colossians 4, he doesn't say such men, but he gives us a glorious list of such men who are both to be acknowledged and held in esteem. So again, a busy morning here today at Calvary Chapel, and I'd like to highlight just the first of these men today. You're like, or you don't know, I don't know, because you have no idea how long it's going to take me for two verses. There's some of you who are like terrified because he's really two verses? Tychicus or Tuikas. And notice what it says there in verses 7 and 8. Paul was sending his friend to the believers there in Colossae to comfort them. I'm fascinated by that because Paul is in prison and he's writing to them that they might be comforted. And it seemed to be reciprocal in terms of knowing the circumstances that he was facing. Again, if you remember back in chapter 1, Paul had heard of their faith. You remember this section from like 6 or 7 months ago? He had heard of their faith in Christ. And it also said that he had heard of their faith in Christ Jesus and of their love for all the saints. So he was told about them, the Colossians. He'd never met them. And he now wanted them, those early followers of Jesus Christ there in ancient Colossae, to know about how he was doing in his gospel efforts. This is kind of Romans chapter 1 stuff, isn't it? like you Bible scholars are thinking, what happens in Romans chapter 1? How about this happens in Romans chapter 1, that we would be mutually established in the faith, that we'd be encouraged together. Paul wanted to visit Rome so he could encourage them, impart some spiritual gifts, but he knew, I'd be blessed by visiting you. This mutual encouragement. It's kind of a fairly major side note to all of it, and so I'm taking a few extra moments here at the outset of kind of this study of the end of this great little book to touch on this major little side note. We have the distinct advantage, and I have, and Christy and I have this distinct advantage of knowing a bunch of people in Ukraine. I'm super spoiled. I say that all the time. Old students of ours that are Ukrainian citizens. Old students of ours that are Americans and grew up on the mission field. I mean, they're under your bulletin insert that I mentioned, like the Markey brothers. They are three of eight kids. Nine kids, thank you. They moved to Ukraine in like early 90s with eight kids and then adopted a ninth kid while they were there. And, you know, dad and mom moved to Kiev to go plant the first Calvary Chapel in Ukraine. Successful plant churches there today. And a lot of their daughters ended up marrying guys that became pastors and went on to go do church planting. And George Sr., he passed away, 15 years ago now. And his wife serves at the Calvary Chapel Bible College Eurasia, which has since moved from Hungary now to the nation of Georgia. And so these three boys and several of their brothers-in-law, one of their brothers, their other brother, David, he's planting a church, and no kidding, in Siberia, right? Like, I'm spoiled to know these guys. And again, a bunch of these missionary kids who grew up there in Ukraine and are doing various things. And I read their posts and their updates, and I'm concerned for them, but I end up being so comforted and encouraged by them. Like, quick note, how are you doing? Are you guys okay? We're doing great. And then, like, encouragement to me, like, oh, thank you. Like, I should be concerned. And they're like, how was the wedding? It's great. And now I got to get ready for Sunday morning. Oh, okay. I guess I should do that too, right? And in Paul's day, of course, sending a letter wasn't a few days of a turnaround. Hey, I'm sending Tychicus to you so that you'll know that I'm doing okay. I want to make sure you're okay. It wasn't like, and the next day, or quick text, bing, emoji. Like praying hands or something from Colossae. We're great. Okay, good. There was time involved in this. If you ever have a chance, read old missionary biographies and autobiographies. Read about men such as James Hudson Taylor. You've heard of Hudson Taylor. Pioneer missionary to inland China. A lot of missionaries had gone to China, but he was really the first to get into inland China. He was the first pioneer missionary that really, he set the tone for what has happened with modern-day missions. He started dressing like Chinese people dress. And he learned Chinese so that he could speak with Chinese people. Someone asked him one time, what's the secret to your success? And he says, I pray for my people. I'm like, okay, well, everyone does that. He said, no, I pray for my people. Like, what are you saying, Hudson? I pray for my people by name. Powerful guy. So Hudson Taylor, he made this remark. If I had 1,000 pounds, China should have it. He's from England. If I had 1,000 lives, China should have them. No, not China, but Christ. Can we do too much for him? Can we do enough for such a precious Savior? That's someone who values eternity. Well, Hudson Taylor got on a ship from England on the 19th of September, 1853. He arrived in China on March 1st, 1854. And if you're a young missionary setting out from England for China, and it takes you basically a half year's worth of time to travel there, you probably send a letter home to mom. Hi, mom, made it to China. How are things in England? And this letter probably arrives back home to mom however many months later, right? Yeah, probably 6 months later. And then the return letter for mom hopefully reaches Hudson Taylor within a year of his initial entrance, or a year and a half, you know, of his initial entrance onto Chinese soil. At any rate, in Paul's day, nothing was instantaneous. So when he asked Tychicus to visit Colossae and let them know how he was doing, Like, what does this have to do? It has so much to do with who this man was, because Paul knew, I can send Tychicus. Like, who should I send? I don't know about so-and-so. But Tychicus. I have so much confidence in this man. Who better to send? In fact, notice verse 7 what Paul says of this man. Three things. He says that he is a beloved brother. And I should hope, men and women, that you have friends in your life like that. Christian friends for you. That you would say, this is more than a friend. This is a brother to me. This is a sister in Christ to me. Notice also there in verse 7, he's a faithful minister. Faithful minister. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 where we discover the chief prerequisite of ministry. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Whatever your calling might be, that you'd be faithful to that. Men like Pastor Bob, all these decades serving Jesus Christ, hold such men in esteem. Thirdly, Paul says of Tychicus here in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 7 that he was a fellow servant in the Lord. I hope you know that when we meet Tychicus in heaven, he's not going to be walking around like, yep, I got my name in the Bible. Like, who are you? It doesn't matter what your name is. Like, he's not going to be that kind of guy. He's just simply a servant. And this is a sermon unto itself. A servant is one who lives for the benefit of his or her master. We don't like those terms in our day and age today, but that's what a servant is. A servant is one who places his or her needs and wants as secondary to the needs and wants of his or her Lord. We don't like that, but that's what a servant is and that's what a servant does. That's how a servant operates. And notice here the specifics of it. Notice this little prepositional phrase. He's a fellow servant in the Lord. So not just service and servanthood in general, but this is far greater. If nothing else, we know that our Master, we know that our Lord, we know that our King is a wonderful, kind, caring, compassionate, other-centered Master. Well, how do we know that? Where do we look? You look no further than the cross of Jesus Christ. If He loved me that much that He sent Jesus to deal with my sins with His own precious blood, why would I not serve Him? Why would I not look at that and say, Lord, I would love to give my life for You since You've given all for me? Tychicus, he got it. And it's far easier to submit to such a Lord. What a wonderful man this guy was. It's funny because this guy doesn't get as much screen time, if you will, as some of the other big names of the New Testament, but he's actually mentioned in 5 different books in the New Testament. Why do I know that name? I don't know, because you've probably read it before at some point in your Bible reading. Almost like a good bench guy or a role player on a basketball team. You know, like, you might have a good starting 5, but without that guy, without that Manu Ginobili kind of person, you know, your team probably isn't going to do great without that, if you will, supporting cast. Those teammates that didn't need the limelight, Paul, by the way, he didn't need the limelight either. For him, remember this from chapter 1, but we preach Christ. Such men, living for Jesus, living to glorify Jesus, living to see Jesus' name be known, not his own name be known. So Tychicus, he seems most often to be found doing what he's doing here in Colossians, sending and receiving news on behalf of other believers, encouraging others, helping others in distant places. I wonder if he was the kind of guy that either loved to travel or was like, okay, Paul, if you need me to go to Colossae, fine, I'll go to Colossae. Either way, he had to be pretty brave, especially in that day and age, to do that. And he must have been so much like Paul, and I wonder if he spent all that time with Paul that it kind of rubbed off on him a little bit. He didn't seem to count his life as a priority in his life. Let me say that again. Tychicus, he did not seem to count his life as the priority in his life. And you can read little bits and pieces about Tychicus in Acts chapter 20. You can read about him in Ephesians chapter 6, much the same thing here as in Colossians 4. You can read about him all the way on into Paul's life and ministry in 2 Timothy chapter 4. All the way to the end, this man was there with Paul. Titus chapter 3, he's mentioned by name, besides here in Colossians chapter 4. Acknowledge such men, hold such men in esteem. And that's it for today in terms of these individuals. that's it for today, except for this. And would you guys just give me, say, another 4 minutes of your time and your attention this morning? This, all of it, is yet another critical component of what we discussed in the previous section of Colossians chapter 4. If we would like to have a successful personal ministry, if we want to be able to reach people and bless and minister to other people, one of the important ingredients, if you remember one of the important ingredients, fellowship. Like, we need to spend time with other believers. And again, this is amazing. Again, as Warren Wiersbe points out, there's something like 100 people connected to Paul. It wasn't just like, dun, 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 Paul the Apostle, and the, you know, his cape waving and just looking off into the middle distance somewhere. It's like all these other people. I mean, this is, in so many ways, Christian discipleship 101. It's time spent with other believers, and Paul did that. These 100-plus people connected with Paul, they did not happen by chance. They didn't enter into his life by way of Paul sitting at home and they just happened to pop in and visit him. No, he was active in his faith. They didn't pop in for an occasional service, or Paul didn't just pop in for an occasional service or Bible study. This is Paul in prison, and they visited him and spent time with him while he was in prison. And we'll see this next week or the following week. Other people seem to actually be on the inside voluntarily with Paul. However that worked in the Roman system, they were there with Paul. He was active in his faith and therefore committed to fellowship. And what does this mean, if I can wrap it up here? And that's like the scariest thing you ever hear a preacher. Finally, right? Being around other Christians, why is this important? So that we might learn from them, we might listen to them, encourage them, and be encouraged. And again, it's that mutual encouragement, that mutual blessing. This is one of the reasons I love Wednesday evenings so much. It's the chit-chat and the fellowship and the discussion afterwards. As in, what does this matter? Well, you're a Christian, right? Meet other Christians. Talk about God's Word together. And some of this, you know, the whole discussion with what's happening in Ukraine and all these different things, and even for us with Bob and Kathy, you know, I wish there was a way for me to introduce to you so many of our extended Eastern European and Western European family. I wish I could have them all just come on a Sunday and you could meet all these folks. And yes, that's what heaven's for, I suppose. But it's one thing for us to read about such men, to acknowledge such men, to hold such men, such women in such high esteem. Such men as Tychicus or Mark or Epaphras or Luke. Same thing for the Colossians. They knew some of these people. We read this just a few moments ago, that he's one of you. Yeah, we know that guy. Yeah, you know that guy. These other guys you never met, I'm sending him, like Tychicus, I'm sending him to you. You're going to like this guy. He's a faithful brother. He's a beloved brother. These different things about him. He wanted them to be encouraged. And he knew, because of who they were in Christ Jesus, he knew that they needed other believers as well. And Paul's like, I've got the right guy. You need to meet this guy. Let me leave you with this thought. Faith is very much like fear in one distinct category. Faith is very much like fear in one distinct category. Both are quite contagious. It's a great sermon unto itself. David, after he slays Goliath, what happens with the entire Israeli army? They kind of man up a little bit and they get after it. Prior to that, they were hiding in fear, which was contagious. Little teenage boy David stands up and like, come on, this guy's nothing compared to God. Kills them. And the whole army stands up. Faith and fear are both quite contagious. So hey, church, there's a bunch of names that I don't know those people. You're going to meet them in heaven and that's fine. But what about this for application? Be around other Christians. Meet such men and women who are held in high esteem. Get to know them. Listen to them. Learn from them. Be encouraged by them. And watch as you grow. And watch as what Paul mentions at the end of verse 8. Watch as your heart is comforted. Who doesn't want that in their faith? So church, great, we'll meet Tychicus in heaven. Look forward to meeting him. I don't know if you fist bump in heaven. I don't know what that's going to look like there, you know, but I look forward to meeting him. In the meantime, here we are with one another. Please, church, in such times that we find ourselves today, please, church, let's be the church. be together, come together, have a cup of coffee, go to lunch, whatever, spend time discussing God's Word, praying for one another, meet such men, such women that are to be held in high esteem. Such men, be around such men. Lord, thank you for your word, and we just thank you that we can gather together and do exactly what we're discussing right now, to be together, to learn from you, to open your word, to be encouraged by you. And so, Lord, would that happen today? Would we leave this place encouraged because of who you are? Encouraged because, Lord, you love us so much that you gave us Jesus. And why should we bother being servants, and why should we bother giving our lives? Not just because such men gave us such great examples and such women who served you so diligently throughout the New Testament. Critical figures in the church. Not simply because they are an example, but it seems that we would follow them as they followed you. And they followed Jesus, your example of others-centered, selfless, sacrificial giving, offering, service for the benefit of someone else. Lord, would you use us in that capacity for your glory? And would we have a great confidence knowing that there is blessing to be found in exactly that, dying to self for somebody else? Jesus, you who endured the cross, despising the shame, you found joy in doing the will of the Father. May we so likewise find joy. Bless your people today. Again, take care of the people of Ukraine. Bless our missionaries. Bless those churches. Strengthen them. And would they give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's stand. Kick you out of here. But stick around. You know, there's coffee. Have some coffee. I think there's some leftover goodies from yesterday. Lots of leftover goodies for today. The word on the street was like, we should probably make sure the second service... You guys are like, don't tell second service. I don't care. Like, don't tell, but you know, if you want, have some goodies. So stick around. Meet such men, right? Meet such women. Let's have such people in our lives that we can look to and find example in their lives. Learn from them. Grow in the things of Christ Jesus through those examples. Get to know other Christians, please. 100+ people in Paul's life. Who are the key people in your life that are helping you to grow? Find those people. Know those people, be involved, see Jesus glorified. God bless you. Thanks for coming. See you later.